You're listening to The God Journey, a place where people thinking outside the box of organized religion can share thoughts and conversation along the journey. Here are your hosts and fellow travelers, Wayne Jacobson and Brad Cummings.
We may have unleashed a dam here. I'm not sure, but we got talking after we ended the last podcast with some of the gals, and they wanted to keep talking. So we're going to do another show with Kelly and Sarah. So they're still here. So welcome again. And you had some great questions, Kelly. What are some of the things you said you wanted to explore?
Well, I think Brad's seen me go on a journey where I've gone through a change from initially feeling an uncomfortability with people asking, well, where are you going? Have you found another church? Have you plugged in someplace else? You know, and they start asking you that from 2 months to now, from when we went through what we did with
the system. You were real uncomfortable with us not having a place that was home or having to contend with those kind of questions because you didn't have a sense of a comfortable answer for that. And now 4 years later, you're in a very different place.
Yeah.
You have an answer for that? Because I get asked that question all the time. What do you say when people ask that question?
Yeah. Well, I tell them I'm on a God journey.
Ah.
Do I get points for that?
You're going to get big points.
It's a plug for the podcast. Very good, honey. Way to go.
Big points.
And I really focus in on my relationship with Jesus in day-to-day life as the answer rather than depending on a meeting place or a person teaching me. And I can't say that I'm at a place where I'm completely comfortable with my personal walk outside of the system yet, because I find it challenging right now to know exactly how to grow spiritually outside of the system. I'm comfortable, but I'm wondering, oh, well, should I be reading this book? Should I just be reading the Bible? Should I be listening to somebody? And I feel like Brad has more insight into the scripture, and so maybe I should be, just listening to Brad or Wayne. And so there's a little bit of insecurity in that, but I love learning about how God is working in the day-to-day things of life, like Sarah was sharing on the last podcast about him showing up in little things, in small ways, and revealing himself in those things. And that's how I best learn anyways. And so I feel like I'm very comfortable with that. But I was particularly wanting to go back to the system for three reasons. One, because I missed the corporate worship.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, well, let's just go because I want to be, you know, corporate worship. I really, really miss that. And then the second thing, I wanted to go because it was a little bit of a break for me, reflective time, because the kids would have a program to go to. And so mom would get a little bit of a break and have some reflection and somebody challenging me with some things that they were saying or encouraging.
Some adult conversation.
Yeah, some adult conversation. And so that was a need in me, I think. And then third, I was wanting to find a place that the kids could meet other Christians. And so that's one of the things that has been hard going, well, where do I meet other Christian moms? Where do the kids meet other Christian kids if you're outside of the system? That I've had to kind of wrestle through. And I don't know if I completely have those answers still yet. But
something's changed because I think earlier on there was a real desire that, you know, it's like, you know, you didn't feel comfortable outside. And I'd have to say that now you very much do. So what caused that transition?
I think it's this sense of time and having more time for me personally to feel like I'm living a balanced life, that Brad and I are having time together, that I'm having time for the kids, and there's more time for the kids and I to discuss personal things, spiritual things, and to solve issues that might come up that when we were in the system, there were so many demands to be at meetings or be here or there, especially nighttime commitments that battled against that, that I think have put me at a comfortable, more of a comfortable level. And
the kids seem to be growing spiritually without all the programs.
They are. And I think seeing that in the kids, Taylor's never been in
She's never darkened the door.
She's never been in a club.
How old is Taylor now, just for those that don't know?
She's four, and she was born right before the whole situation that we had, that we went through, happened. And so she had just been born, and then it was like 3-4 months. And
so you say you've been back a few times for corporate worship. Did you find what it was? Did you find that what you were hoping it would be? I mean, was the nostalgia of it better than the reality, or was it?
I must say that I still did enjoy the corporate worship in some settings, but there were a lot of things that happened that made me sick to my stomach after that, whether it was the way that the whole machine was being run after the corporate worship.
Like announcements and offerings and things like that.
Yeah, announcements and offerings and people jockeying for looking more spiritual. I wasn't excited to see that and to see that, gosh, you know, no matter how hard we as leaders are trying to make this thing relational and genuine, it's hard not to fall into those traps. And still seeing that in so many environments when we would go back and visit.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you end up seeing through it. You kind of know where it's going. You know when the pitch is going to come. You know when they're going to ask for this. And to some degree, it's a necessary evil to keep the system going. It needs to be fed. It needs resources. It needs people to be plugged in. And it's like, unless you're going to feed that system, most folks don't have a whole lot of interest. You know, once they realize you're not going to just plug into our thing, you're not as valuable for just the sake of relationship. And I think the nice thing in our neighborhood is we've actually run into a lot of different people that, you know, they do have a vibrant faith in Jesus Christ, but they are thoroughly dissatisfied with most of the, quote, church environments that they've been in, to the point that most of them are just enjoying, as a family, involved in the different activities and finding fellowship with the people around them. I mean, we've been finding folks like that.
Yeah, I really enjoy having time to have a relationship with our neighbors and day-to-day life and the people that I'm meeting in the kids' school environment and their activities, baseball and soccer, and having a genuine conversation about my relationship with God, where I don't just say, oh, well, you should come to a church service with me. It's more me sharing about God with them then and there, than, you know, saying, well, come here and listen to this person who's more spiritual than I, you know, lead you to Christ. And so it's been really healthy, I think, for me to just share about my own journey and how God's working in my life. And I think it is a more genuine relationship with people, where they're not feeling like they're being, you know, having a salesperson at the door, but you're loving them for who they are and you're just sharing life with them. And I'm much more comfortable at leading people to Christ that way than feeling like I have to, you know, sell them on something, whether it's a church service or, you know, but it's just, this is who God is to me.
Well, Sarah, you used to play, keyboard for a fairly awesome worship band. Do you miss it?
I'm starting to miss it. Not in the sense of playing for a worship team, but at least I'm getting more desire to play the piano. Got my piano tuned after moving, and hasn't been tuned for about 5 years, and got it tuned now.
It's been a long time since you've enjoyed just sitting down at a piano, hasn't it?
Long time. Yeah, and because it got too much performance-based. The last few years at church, it was just, you know, you're up there, and then you're picking the songs, and then you're changing keys, and it's smooth from one song to another, and the practice of it, and it just didn't, it lost the whole sense of just enjoyment and worship.
Do you find yourself missing a corporate worship experience weekly or monthly, or I mean, wanting to be in a room full of people singing?
Personally,
stuff?
No.
Oh.
No, I do like listening to songs. I enjoy in the time, especially in commuting to work and back or around, I love listening to music and being able to worship in that environment seems more personable and real to me than in a corporate environment, because I think my perspective was from the the performance end of it. Mm-hmm. And I, at the end, I was feeling so much like a hypocrite, because here I was playing and on a worship team about once every 3 weeks, and yet then all the stuff that was going on in the church and the whole thing that was happening those last 3 years, a real dear friend, and we did many duets together, and I would just, I remember one morning I just said, I was in almost in tears and feeling, I just feel so much like a hypocrite because I don't feel like worshiping. And yet here I am and playing the keyboard and going along. And it was, I felt fake. And so I just,
Which never hurts your piano playing, does it? I mean, that's the amazing thing about that. You know, the performance can go on.
It must go on.
Yeah, even if inside it's not feeling right. But I think that's one of the things. I mean, you mentioned three things, Kelly, that kind of draws you, or did at mm-hmm. least at some point draw you back to it. The corporate worship, the break in time for reflection, and something for the kids, relationships for the kids and mm-hmm. connections. I think we hear that a lot, Brad, from people who write us and we talk to, saying those are the big draws. Those are the big things that people miss. We've talked about the kid thing over a couple of shows, and I'm sure we'll do it up the road. How important is this corporate worship experience, Brad? I'm kind of interested in what you're thinking here. And do we have to have it? I mean, I always bristle, to be honest, with calling it worship, because worship is not singing songs in a room full of people. I'd rather call it praise and singing or something like that, which I think is a valuable deal if it's a valuable deal and not highly manipulated. In most environments I'm in, it seems to be highly manipulated.
Yeah, we had a pretty amazing thing going on. I mean, we were cutting albums and I loved what was happening, and yet it seemed like there was a fine line that sometimes you went off of, where sometimes it's like, wow, this really is performance, and we got such gifted worship musicians, they know how to move a crowd, and you're just going like, they could do this necessarily without God, and the frightening reality is would they know? And do they know? And if they do know, are they still doing that? I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes around it. But I think we've enjoyed in our own corporate home at times groups that there was just a naturalness that would come out of hanging out together that would sometimes end in a time of worship, where it wasn't that, okay, now let's worship. But there was a sense of, everyone just had a sense of want to. And so I think we've experienced enough opportunities where we are having that kind of expression and time with the Lord. And I do love that. I mean, I at times do miss that. But the reality is I know some people that if we just called over to the house, that if that's what I really needed, that'd be easy to find. I also have my own sense of personal worship, that if I just want to go on a drive in the car, I can connect with God through song, but I do agree with you. That's not what worship is. I mean, worship is a life lived out. Yep. It's not singing songs. I love singing songs. There's a favorite song that I have that when I'm in the car with Jared, it's like, you know, it's become, because it was Dad's favorite song and it's a great connection song to God, Jared will put it on at night and put it on repeat, and so he'll go to bed at night. And it's fun to watch that because it is a touchstone.
I know you know what song it is. What song is it?
No, I'm not telling. It's a secret.
Well, there you go.
But it's fun to watch that same dynamic to happen in Jared, where it's like he saw Dad connect with God through singing songs, and he caught that not because it was a service, but because it was, wow, I felt that connection too. And it's neat to see that transfer on into Taylor or into Jonathan. I mean, and so I do think that there's a real value. I mean, God's put an incredible creativity in people for expressing themselves through music, through worship, through songs. So I love it, but I do think that it can be incredibly manipulative. And I just wonder if sometimes there is the discernment to really know. I wonder, you know, is the worship for us? Or is it for God? And it seems if we need it so bad, I don't know. I struggle with some of those dynamics.
But in the corporate sometimes, though, maybe I shouldn't go here, but anyhow, in the corporate, what struggles with that...
This is what scares me about her.
what I struggle with that is they get up there, the leader,
uh-huh.
and they're... they don't allow you the freedom to really worship. And I guess this is where I, for me personally, that I have a hard time with corporal.
Structured.
It's structured in, you know, the whole, you know, turnaround. They tell you what to do and the whole Simon Says type of thing.
That's what Sarah does. There he does. Everybody stands there and goes, Simon Says. You were going to play again.
And they don't allow you the freedom to be able to just, you know, sing and then, you know, and also when we did it too, the repetitiveness. You keep, I mean, you can sing a song and, you know, into eternity and
into
just
a trance.
And that's what it's the hardest thing is the, and I've led worship and it is a very difficult place to be and to lead and to keep things moving, allow Lord have opportunity, but I think sometimes there is a pressure. I don't know the pressure or the people. It's just hard for me personally in the corporate worship is just the
well, it's too
telling
directed.
Your, yeah, it's just, you know, sit down now or stand up, raise your hands. I mean, let me do what I want to do. And that's why I think I enjoy it more in the car where I have freedom to be able to just to be able to you know, be me and God.
Well, I hope you're not standing up in the car.
No.
But if she does, she's doing it
she wants freedom to do that.
Just as long as I can still drive.
Following Sarah to work would be a really interesting thing, I think.
Well, what about you, honey?
Well, I was just thinking that I totally can see where you're coming from, Sarah, on that, because I think there would be a sense of performance a lot on the person who's leading, that they have to keep the crowd up and excited and move people. But there were a couple of environments, I think, that we experienced that as a participant, not a leader of the worship or praise singing, that I think were quite genuine experiences that we shared on mission trips that we went on and in our home where no one was saying, everybody stand up, everybody sit down, but people felt the freedom of doing whatever they wanted. Which some people, I think, then end up feeling uncomfortable because you had somebody over here on their knees and then somebody over here dancing with a scarf and, you know, doing whatever they wanted. But there was a freedom there that was something, I think.
I think in our journey, some of our high water mark experiences corporately of the presence of God, a lot of them came through some real wonderful times of corporate worship. And we didn't come from an environment where it was directed, where you were told what to do. It was pretty much, there was a lot of personal freedom extended to do or not to do. And it was just sort of an environment that was created. I think some of the things that I got concerned about is do any of these people here that are so accustomed to encountering God in the midst of worship, do they know how to access him without a guitar? Can they find God when there isn't the worship service? Or is this just the only freeway on-ramp that they know how to get? And that's where I began to go like, okay, I'm not so sure this is as great as it is because this is not – I don't need a song or music or amplification or you know, frankly, as young people, so decibels blowing out my ears to get a hold of God. But I felt like there was a lot of people that they didn't know how to access God apart from that. That's why they were so tied to the service, tied to the thing. And I just go like, okay, that's not a good thing.
It's almost good to be weaned off of that kind of thing as a point of need. But then as you travel the journey, if there's a desire to participate and you can find a place to hang out with some folks that do that or invite some folks to your home and do it, I think the routine of it, to me, something you try and do every week at a specific time is eventually going to have some kind of overtone of something to it. It's going to get formal, boring,
is the forced
manipulative.
Nature of it.
Yeah, instead of, no, let's do what God asks us to do. And if God asks us to get together with some folks and celebrate mm-hmm. him in song together and listen to him together. I mean, I think that's some of the best times the body of Christ gets to spend together.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard for people to find that. I know I would say in our lives right now, except for what I experienced a lot of that as I'm traveling around meeting with a variety of groups of people. But in this area, I don't know that we found a lot of that we would say, or enough, I'd say enough of that. We may have three or four times a year that we find a group of folks here that are willing to hang out a bit and do some of that. And I certainly would love more if folks had that on their heart.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was interesting. The other night, you know, when we were over here for dinner, and we had a handful of folks around, you know, there was a sense of, you know, I think you were really itching with a desire. It's like, well, let's worship. And
the guitarist was.
Or at least was asking the question. Yeah. I sat there after a day of soccer games yelling as a coach, you know, and I'm just going, I don't have a voice. I just sat there going like, okay, it'd be great. But it just seemed like, for whatever reason, in that environment, it didn't happen.
It wasn't happening.
And what I really enjoyed was the personal sense inside me, like, well, I'm not going to try to make it happen. I don't feel a need to force it. And I don't feel the environment is saying, well, you're not spiritual if you're not singing. And I think that was so neat for, quote, the attempt or the desire to kind of fall flat and for that to be totally okay. Because most of the time in another setting, that would be tragic. You know, it's like, God's abandoned us. God didn't abandon us. It just wasn't in that moment. A whole issue about singing.
I think it can almost be a spiritual checkoff, like, well, we had our meeting if we did
we
this.
We got our songs in.
So we did, we're spiritual, we're okay if we did this. We had an official meeting. There is almost a sense of that, I think.
It's a tradition.
There can be. And I don't think people were, that's not what that night was.
No, not at all.
But I do think those are some of the things. You know, we gotta get a little scripture reading in somewhere. We've got to get our praying for each other's needs in. And
yes.
As long as you're good.
Well, in the whole home church thing, and I think one of the questions we had a couple weeks ago, someone was asking, is just, well, you know, I hear you guys mention you get together, and it's like, we're just trying to figure out, you know, what do you do? I do think that when you're coming out of the structured church or a system of sorts, there's a sense of, well, if Christians get together, we have to have these elements for it to be valid. You know, someone must open in prayer. So, you know, there must be some kind of Bible reading. It's not valid if you just have dinner and have a great time. I mean, like the other night, the kids are out there just, you know, playing in the dark, and your dogs are biting my children in the rear.
Well-trained old dogs. Yeah. Wait till you bring Chipper over here.
You're going to eat Chipper alive. But just the simple enjoyment of fellowship, and I think that's what's been such a breath of fresh air, is that is not – it's not a question of, well, is it valid, is it not valid? It's just like that's part of how God's expressing himself in our midst, the naturalness of sharing life.
And you know what I experience a lot at home church meetings, to be honest? You get people come together, and a lot of them will have a meal, which is great. And the conversation around the meal is pretty animated. I mean, people are really into, you know, what's going on in your life, and sharing's great. And then somebody gets the hankering to start a meeting. And once they open in prayer, gets a guitar, it's amazing how this group, and I've seen this all over the world. That's not just true of a specific locality or a specific kind of meeting. But we're so used to that. I think what I've concluded from that is I think we make that just a little bit artificial. So
yeah.
All of a sudden you open in prayer and everybody kind of gets into their spiritual meeting mode.
Yeah.
And it gets very quiet, mm-hmm. very awkward, very stilted. Only a few of, I think, Brad, you're my types.
Yeah.
You know, keep talking.
It's our job to keep the meeting going.
And then it's just like, you know, herding potato chips somewhere. It doesn't go anywhere. And then somebody will try and share something from Scripture. I mean, you got all these little checklist things in, Kelly, that you were mentioning. And then, but it's also stilted and awkward and forced. And then as soon as somebody closes in prayer,
then real life comes back.
The animation, just people, hey, what's going on? I think we ought to learn something from that, really. Let's not force things. I think we experience that. Let's not force things. If a singing time and a praise time and a prayer time, as long as you're coming together, people come together and it'll be real. It won't be artificial. It won't be forced. And people won't feel awkward, and I've got to flow with this thing, and I got to make sure Jesus is saying this before I open my mouth. I think all that destroys just the naturalness of the body of Christ being together.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's been fun to be in a number of different settings with you, with different groups of people, because there was one time that, you know, for a series of 6 weeks, we had a focused sense of study, and we're going to go after God a little bit together. And what was great is you and I didn't end up being the teachers. We were facilitators of a genuine discussion that was birthed out of questions that people had. And I felt like because there was a focus for those particular gatherings, and it was, in a sense, closed in terms of it was for 6 weeks. It wasn't an on and on. We didn't feel like at the seventh week we needed to go more. But there was a sense of, you know what, we're going to come together for this common purpose. We got these questions in our heart, and we're going to facilitate a discussion with God as to what some of the answers might be. That was such a breath of fresh air, because that was real. And it wasn't, I didn't feel like, okay, every time I go into a meeting, I warp it because they expect me to be the teacher guy. It was so freeing to be there and to not have that hat put on me.
It was great, but in the end, I'm not sure we were even facilitators. We were more just the excuse for people to get together.
I think it was.
Because what they were learning and discovering and sharing and asking questions about, that's what really drove our time together. And it was never, I mean, I never felt like we started something or ended something. We just had a time together, and then we did break it off. We did say, yeah, that's it, we're done. We'll pick this conversation up next week when we got together. And I think the limitation of it being a six-week thing rather than we'll do this from now until the end of the age was very helpful in that process as well.
Yeah, so I think, you know, for people out there who are going like, okay, so I'm no longer in the structured, you know, thing. I'm trying to find my way. You know, we've just allowed genuine hunger and genuine relationships to help guide how we actually get together with some people. And the nice thing is it hasn't felt forced. You know, we haven't felt like, oh, we had to have a meeting to somehow be an official Christian. It was more like, Lord, who have you placed in our life? And who should we reach out to in terms of, are you doing anything? And it's, you know, it's been amazing that, you know, our lives have been full just attending to those things.
Exactly.
You know, if we had to add the commitments to, you know, a particular club again, I think we'd be exhausted.
I'm curious, though, how you, Sarah, maybe meet other Christian women now on this journey. Because I know Wayne has opportunity in different environments because he's speaking or whatever to hook up with people a little bit easier. But how about for you now that you're outside of the system?
Besides the people that he
drags into your life
or brings that
the overflow
comes in our lives that way at work, and this is where I think I just daily and just thinking anybody who is coming across my path isn't just really happenstance, and that not everybody's going to be touched, or, you know, I'm going to have in some specific touch with them, but at people at work, especially the last couple of years, when I'm more in just in tune and sensitive to people who are around, as far as their, you know, where they're at, and mainly it's more just if they're hurting, and let that maybe lead to a time where we develop a relationship and get to know them. And I've gotten a couple of relationships that have, about three or four that were working and talking about Jesus and what he's doing in their lives. And one lady, she's at work, she's kind of helped me through some tough things, and now she's going through some tough things. And so I just, every day where I'm not always, you know, I don't walk through my life and through my day every day thinking about, you know, every person I talk with, but I try to, where I, you know, at lunch when I get off campus or times, I try to, you know, put my focus back in more, who am I talking to, and get my eyes and you know, help me to, you know, be sensitive and to people around me. And I just try and love everybody and treat people with respect. And it's interesting, some of the people he's brought back to my, has brought in my life. I guess they would probably say it's been a blessing. I don't think what I do is anything different than just caring for them and loving them through whatever they're going through. They aren't as really, a couple of them are close, but, you know, it's a developing of a relationship, and I don't know if that answers your question.
Do you feel like you've been able to meet people that are like-minded about spiritual things?
I have a few. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we also we have old friends that come visit us that live a few hours away and spend a weekend, and that's always very rich fellowship. Our adult mm-hmm. children are a real point of our fellowship and sharing the journey and mm-hmm. praying and caring about things going on in their lives. And I think that's a part of it. We've just moved again, so we're in a brand new area where we don't know anybody. And well, we lived over in Oxnard between our neighbors, and we got to know quite a few folks over there that we were sharing this journey with. Some not quite on the same page we were, but some were. So now we're going to kind of see how God does it here. I think this is very different for us, but I don't think you sit around going, "Oh, I wish I had more people in my life." I don't know that you feel that way. I certainly don't. I'm open to whoever God brings into it, but boy, we seem to stay pretty busy with the folks we already know.
Right.
It was interesting. There was one in one of my supervisors that was in my internship hours in counseling program. She sitting underneath her, I was underneath her as I was doing my hours at this one. And I'll tell you, it's just different times, you know, in your life. God brings someone in your life, and we have so much in common. I mean, through family things, and it was just, we try to get together every couple of months, and so there's different times we're in through all that, and I have many people that I call and I would call in a second if I'm struggling and needing things, and dear friends that, you know, would be there in a heartbeat. So, but he does bring people in my life, and I know it's just him bringing them in, and it's interesting to watch how God does that.
Anything else? Some things about spiritual nourishment. I think we probably covered most of that. Anything else you guys have on your?
Oh, I just wanted to say earlier when we were talking about Taylor that watching somebody, a child who has never been in the system, develop a relationship with God has also helped bring me around. I think as far as not feeling the need to have to be in the system,
What did you say at the doctor's office?
Well, that's what I was just going to share. Was I took her to have just a checkup, you know, and get some vaccinations about 2 weeks ago. And Taylor is very social, and so she's sitting there and, you know, doing the eye tests and the ear tests and being very proud, and the doctors just think she's as cute as can be. And then she gets up on the table and she says, "I'm 4, I have Jesus in my heart, and I'm not afraid of monsters." And those are the three things that established her with confidence.
Oh, that's great.
And I just was sold on going, you know what? She doesn't even know what, you know, a church service is. You know, she's just all about relating to God, and he's there to love her and protect her. And
oh, that's great.
And it's exciting to see that.
And I think one of the things from the Ladysmith interview that we did from South Africa, one of the things he talked about was by moving things away from a set Sunday morning God experience, God became much more part of life. And
yes,
that's what I think Sarah and I would say. I know I've seen that in your guys' life too. And when your Christianity isn't chasing down to a certain meeting and a certain club and a group of people and activities together, God really does become a much more real part of every day and every experience and decision, and his hand being in things that in the past I would have rushed by on my way to a meeting somewhere.
Yeah.
And now realize this chance encounter with a neighbor, or this with someone at in a store, or for me when I'm traveling, and some of the things. To me, it's that God really, we kind of locked him into that Sunday morning prison or Wednesday night deal. That's when I met with God, and the rest of my life was pretty much mine. Now it's just, I think what I enjoy about this transition and is living in the freedom of who God is. Every experience, every day is part of that. And you just never know how it's going to unfold. And you never know who's God going to connect you to, or when you're going to move. I used to find real comfort in kind of having things lined out down the road. I find greater comfort now in just waking up to this day and how it's going to unfold and what's going to happen, and loving it.
Yeah, one other story I wanted to share real quick, too, is about our son, Jared. And he is having a struggle with other kids at school asking, well, what church do you go to? And, well, if you don't go to church, then you're not a Christian, or, you know, not a good person. And so he's had to kind of grow through this and knowing how to answer those questions. And, you know, I was taught in a church environment that, well, just going to church, you know, doesn't make you a Christian, like being in a garage doesn't make you a car. I was taught that growing up. But now on this God journey outside of the box, you are really having to focus on that personal relationship. And so Jared is learning how to answer that. And one of the biggest blessings and encouragement that we heard was he was at a vacation Bible school, and one of his friends who, you know, they've been close sometimes and not close other times, but the mom came up to me and said, you know, we were talking about, well, how come, you know, more of the kids from school, you know, aren't coming to church or vacation Bible school? And, you know, well, is this person a Christian? Is this person a Christian? And one of the boys said, well, I don't know if Jared's a Christian because he doesn't come, you know, to our church. And the other boy said, oh, he's one of the strongest Christians I know. And the mom said, well, you know, why do you say that about Jared? And he said, because of how he lives. Hmm. And to me, again, that was just encouragement, again, of what we're doing and living the life rather than going to something.
Yeah, and what the kids are catching and all.
Yeah, because their whole mindset is no longer limited to a place or a time. It is how they live their life, and they know that. And, you know, they can – Jared will sometimes go with another friend to church or not, and it's fun. You know, when he comes back, you just go, well, how was it? Well, Dad, actually, it was really good, and he'll have picked up some wonderful little insights. And other times he come back and says, I don't know. I think the guy's on the whole rules thing.
Or he went one time and he was really discouraged with one of his close friends, and they went to a Friday night event. And he said, Mom, there were more kids cussing and messing around at this, you know,
church
environment. And he was really discouraged, going, why are people like that, you know, there? And so little things like that happen, and it makes you just realize how important living out the daily life is, and even going to an environment like that doesn't guarantee that somebody's going to know God.
Well, I think it's safe to say, I think the banging in the background is our dogs competing for chipper time. On the, that was Sierra and Sheba have been in here making all kinds of noise this evening. But I appreciate the courage you guys had to come on here, and I suspect you guys have enjoyed this a little too much, and we'd probably have you back more than we need. No, I'm kidding.
You're in trouble now.
I know one of the greatest joys for me in this whole journey of now 33 years that we've known each other and been married for 30 is that I had a partner through everything that we've gone through, the ups and downs, the hurts, the anger. There's just always been someone to share it with, and somehow we've muddled through this together, and we've ended up on the same page, although not every day have we been exactly on the same page with things. But and I really appreciate, Sarah, your life, and I appreciate you coming on and doing this. I know getting in front of a microphone is not your favorite thing in the whole world, so you've been a good sport.
Thank you.
And I think you'll probably be back, because I think you're enjoying this more than you should, maybe. But no, I'm kidding.
No shoulds, remember?
Yeah, I do remember that. Don't should on yourself. That's and don't should on others either, probably. That'd be the way to do that. Anyway, thanks a lot for coming in. And maybe we'll do this again up the road.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your questions or feedback by email or at our blog at thegodjourney.com. Or you can call 24 hours a day to our comment line at 805-626-4212.